Some Sundays there's a slight disturbance in the air and none of the words come out right for anybody. Today must be one of those days. I'm glad the trumpet's successful at least. That's wonderful. And today we hear about the word of the Lord. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And of course, Jeremiah says, I'm a boy, I don't know what to say, can't do this job. But, you know, despite that, despite our own fears and our own insecurities, our own sense of inability about whether we can get the words right, or the meaning, or the action right, God says, no, I've appointed you, and you're going to go and do what I need you to do. And so you're going to be over nations, over kingdoms. You're going to pluck up and you're going to pull some things down. You're going to destroy some things and overthrow some things, because then you will plant and you will build. It's an interesting passage of scripture to be chosen today to go with the other two readings. The story of Jesus' own announcement of his ministry in at Nazareth and the fact that they try to throw him off the cliff. Jeremiah and Jesus are understood as prophets. And like Jeremiah, Jesus is questioned and rejected by his own people, the very people to whom he grew up with. Like Jeremiah, Jesus gets in trouble with his neighbors. And it distinctly echoes a line that goes throughout history from Moses and Jeremiah and Jesus and again to Paul. According to at least one prominent biblical stream, to speak prophetically is to follow God into a calling that one would not necessarily choose. Saying and doing things that anger the people that you love, things that though God may be telling you to do and support you to do, are only seen as fruitful later on and never in the heat of the moment. No wonder Moses and Jeremiah and Jesus and Paul hesitated. No wonder they wanted to do something else. Because being a change agent throughout history, you always attract the stuff that clings. It always attracts our humanity. It always attracts God's bearing us up. There are lots of universal themes among such leaders. They often express and have found their vocation from early in life. They have a sense of humility that what they're going to do is not going to be easy and it's not going to be taken easily because it's innovative. And it's going to actually go against entrenched norms. It's the job description that you never find in a job counselor's notebook, to be a prophet. You know, in high school, when you did those profiles about what you would be when you grew up, do you remember seeing the word prophet? You're going to go and disturb people. You're going to make change. It's going to bother them. No, that's not what you find. I remember when I did that in high school, I came up with two options, bartender or priest. They are the same thing. You listen. You serve some drinks. You pastorally counsel, and sometimes you have to make some decisions about people that are in the bar. Sometimes you have to do things that people don't like. And yet, underneath both of those is the grace of God and the ability to be in community while you do it. And in today's reading from Corinthians, the one that Maura fortunately likes better, we hear about community. Now, lots of clergy hate 1 Corinthians 13, no offense, but every single wedding couple in the world wants to have this read at their wedding. And so we get tired of it. And part of the reason of our tiresome with this reading is because of the context that it's taken out of. It was not written to people who were getting married. It was not written to people who even liked each other. It was written by Paul, because he'd probably come to the end of his rope. He probably did not know what to do anymore with those people from Corinth. However, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. It's not exactly what it sounds like. The community that Paul was writing to was having a very difficult time staying together. Relationships, and especially those in community, is where the kind of love Paul was talking about needs to be lived out, but that love is costly. Because it comes at the price of honesty and truth, patience and kindness, and justice, and facing injustice. You see, the Corinthians were kind of actively pursuing some of the things that they shouldn't have been. And maybe there were in themselves one or two of those things, one or two of those attitudes wasn't the problem. But when you put it all together, Paul realized that they weren't doing really the love of God. And so we understand that. All of us understand what it's like to be called to account for what we do and how we act and whether it matches. We all understand how hard it is in community to negotiate our differences and our divisions. The thing about us is we forget sometimes that we're all human. It would be actually good if we only just chose sides sometimes when there's a division, but we don't, because we're human. We choose the side that we're on, and then to make ourselves feel better or justified, we tear down the other side. We demonize them. We say they were wrong or that they were unjust. We don't hold the balance. That's why we live in community, because each one of us is terrible at that. It's much easier to rip apart than to build up. It's much easier to tear down with words or with our hands than it is to come together. I hope many of you read the article in yesterday's Citizen about Dominion Chalmers. If you haven't, go and find it. There's a community, a neighbor church that we can practically almost see from here, who is working through what they will become. Who will they be? What will they do to provide new ministry in their time and place here? That takes a lot of love and a lot of working together, the kind of stuff that Paul is talking about. We mustn't forget that the church is meant to be a symbol of God's justice and love. And Paul never says in this reading, you're going to feel great the whole time. He doesn't say that love actually feels good. And that's what we often think. We like to imagine that. We like to imagine that when we meet the person we love and we fall in love and we get married, that it's all going to go great. There's something eminently human about our ability to hope and to dream and to desire all of that. And if we couldn't, well, we wouldn't really want to live, would we? However, what Paul says is that kind of reality for us in the church, that kind of reality in our lives, is hard work. True love is not measured by how good it makes us feel. True love is measured more by what we can achieve together, by what we show to the world. In the context of 1 Corinthians, it would be better to say the measure of love is its capacity for tension and disagreement without division. It's love that frees us from competition, frees us from gossip, frees us from mistrust, frees us from the need to defend ourselves. It's love beyond measure. That's what Paul's talking about. Beyond evaluating. Beyond disrupting. Paul says that God's love, the kind that we are asked to do and to hold and to be, shows patience and kindness, and it's active. It's busy. It isn't something we just do once and then forget about it. And it finds its way to express itself through us, sometimes despite us. So you see, Paul's not saying it's a flowery description of love in a theoretical, abstract sense. but it's about how we are with one another. So no matter where we go, no matter what we do, no matter who we are, there are days when there is a disturbance in the air and the words don't come out right. Just like that, no matter where we go or who we are or what the day is, there will always be disagreement and division within our community. The answer isn't to erase it or pretend it doesn't exist or think it's eventually going to go away, but to embrace it, to journey together, because we aren't all in the same place. Some people remember things that hurt them badly and they bring that into that context. Some people have moved through that and are ready to go somewhere else. And some of us don't know what the heck is going on. That's what love is like. Do you remember falling in love? You had no idea what was going on. Love confronts us and challenges us and scares us and it threatens us. And to be a community and to be together in that takes courage. It takes prophets like Jeremiah. It takes people willing to write careful letters and loving letters to those they care about. It takes people like Jesus who's willing to say, yeah, I didn't hear all of you. That's right, I didn't. Because not everyone needed to be cured in that situation. Some things needed to let them happen the way they were meant to happen. So love isn't quite so easy as it turns out. Can't just read 1 Corinthians 13 and feel good about yourself. Sorry, used to maybe. I've just destroyed that perhaps. But that's okay, because love is meant to be challenging. The thing is, none of us can do all of that all the time. Some days we do it better than others. Some communities do it better than others. And at different times and different places, God speaks through us differently than others. But we need to remember that it's about the community. It's about being the voice of God. It's about being able to say, I've put my words in your mouth. I've appointed you over nations. You're not just a boy. You're adults. Your people I love and whom I have brought to this place. And I want you to go forward with that and share it with everyone. So when we need God's love to break into our situation, no matter what it is, a conflict with some person we love, a disagreement in a community, or something in ourselves that is broken and needs healing, may God's love speak into that. Break into it and teach us how to live. May the same God who gave Jeremiah a voice, Paul a message that challenged his community, and Jesus the courage to speak the truth in love enter our hearts, our communities, our lives. Amen.